Blog Talk Radio.
I won't let just be. There's a story of an old sister who would come to church every Sunday. It was pain aching in her body. She would struggle from the back of the church all the way to the front pew, sometimes with tears streaming from her eyes. And one day, one of those young sisters got beside her sister, and she told that old sister, "Sister, if you're in so much pain, why don't you just turn around and just stay home sometime?" That old sister just held her Bible close and said these words.
As I read the stories of old, and I look at old man Joe, she lost everything that he had in just one day. Now can't you see him as he spoke with his wife? But she said, "You ought to curse your God and die." I can imagine with tears in his eyes, I can hear Joe say, "I won't let
such things turn me around.
Though he slay me, I'm still gonna trust the Lord. No sickness, no sorrow, no pain. See, this is what I've learned. You see, when times in life get hard, that's when you ought to fall down and worship God. So I won't let nothing.
She told us, she said, "Before I take it back, I'll add more stuff."
What about those Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when the king said, "Better bow down before that image"? That day, yeah, yeah. Well, those boys were scared of the fire. Hey, they looked the king dead in the eyes, with no fear in their hearts. I can hear them say,
I won't let nothing turn me around.
No weapon formed against me to prosper. See, there's one thing I know. Sometimes we gotta go through the fire, but it's good to know Jesus will be right there by your side. I'm not gonna let nothing, no, no, no.
Yeah,
I'm gonna keep moving, and I'll never turn around. I'm determined, I've got a made up mind, I'm gonna get my crown. She told her, she said, "I won't let nothing, no.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Morning Words of Encouragement. I am your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for tuning in on today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you, and we invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. We also ask that you invite others to join the call as well. Our Morning of Encouragement is a ministry of Central Church of Christ located in Smyrna, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. Today's words of encouragement will be presented by none other than Brother Patrick Metlock. We ask that you all please stop whatever it is you are doing to find yourselves a quiet corner and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Immediately following the words of encouragement, he will close us out with a word of prayer. Brother Metlock, you are on the air.
Danielle, I,
I bring you greetings here from the Gateway Church of Christ here in Southgate, Michigan, where we are saints in covenant with God, and we are neighbors in love with you. We're so appreciative of you and your willingness to host this program every day. I was able to listen to the program yesterday as you hosted it with Brother Jones, who is getting up at 6 a.m. his time to do this every Monday morning, as well as the way you graciously work with the other people who are also assigned the other days. Thank you so much, Brother Bradshaw. Thank you for being willing to share this. I mean, you could easily just do this every day as part of your ministry, but you've been willing to follow the tradition and to continue to share it. And so thank you very, very much for that. Thank you, those of you who are on the Blog Talk Radio side of things. Most of you, if not all of you, have called the 319-527-6203 telephone number to listen in. And various ones who are on my Facebook simulcast right now, you have decided to not just listen, but also look at my ugly mug as I try to share some things, make up for that by sharing some things that may be spiritually relevant. All of you for coming and being a part of this devotional in whatever way in which you've chosen to be a part of it. And we just ask that on the social media part of this, that you like, hopefully comment positively, and that you share share this video with others as we do this. Excuse me. I wrote this poem that I'm going to share as for this rendition of Gratitude Tuesday. This is Gratitude Tuesday, if I'm numbering it right, number 47, at age 15, and I'd like to share it with quite a few of you probably for the very first time. It's called A Satisfied God. God, creator of the universe, was very pleased with man at first. But then came death brought forth by sin, and God first felt regret within. The patriarchs, the kings, the prophets, the judges could not in their time clear sin, stains, smudges. But then came Christ in all his glory, and even today we tell his story of his wondrous birth, of his ministry's worth, of his lived perfection, of his brutal rejection. Then came the apostles, Luke, Paul, and Apollos. They left their lives as examples for us to follow. What satisfies God but that man do his will? For his glory made he man, and his law is reigning still. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I'm thankful for the contribution of the late Evergrace C, who I want to say around this time a year ago, I flew back up to Michigan from Tallahassee to eulogize. She worked with me to develop that poem. And that poem is reminiscent of the words that Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 14, when he said, I am obligated both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So for my part, I'm eager to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I believe in the power of the gospel, and as I've been reminiscing lately, I probably reminisce every day and all the time. But it really has been pushed because I'm in the midst of preaching a lesson called Flipping It to the B-Side to the Gateway Faithful. And This is a lesson that I want to say, and maybe somebody like Sister Norfleet, if she's on, if she may remember it, she can, you know, chime in some kind of way, reach out to me, let me know, or reach out on Facebook and let me know. But I want to say I might have preached flipping it to the B-side where I talk about the importance of the generations, and especially the younger generation, making sure that they honor appropriately the older generation. That I may have preached that 12 or 13 years ago for the first time at Northwest Church in Detroit. And then I saw that I preached it almost exactly 10 years ago at Spring Hill Road. And now that I'm preaching the same, at least subject, at Gateway, I'm preaching it very differently because, you know, I'm a different preacher than I was, and I should be a different preacher than I was 12 to 10 to 13 years ago. And so I'm going to preach it in a very different and hopefully a much more advanced way. But the idea of looking at my life and looking how blessed I have been is prompting me to talk about how grateful I am for God's gospel grace. Because it was 50 years ago on January 28th, 1973, that I became a Christian. My mother, Doris Metlock, and was the one that sat down with me and taught me the scriptures. And it was eventually at the preaching of William Whitaker in Memphis, Tennessee, at the Klondike congregation, that I responded to the gospel call. But even before that, or soon thereafter, it was Sister Peterson, who was my Sunday school teacher at Klondike, who was saying, "You're going to be a preacher, boy, one day. And you just don't, you can't undervalue John, what your wife is doing, and what some of these other individuals at various congregations, some of you who are listening at the sound of my voice, the encouragement of young people to do the things that it would appear they have been blessed or will be blessed to be able to do can have a tremendous impact." Because little did she know that a few years later, on April 17, 1977, I would preach my first gospel sermon at the age of 12 in Somerville, Tennessee. But it really wasn't until my father passed in September of 2000 that a passage like Ephesians 3 and verse 6 through 8 really became very relevant to me. That the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I, Paul, was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. To me, the very least of all saints, grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. So my father passed, and you may have heard me say before that I divide my life into two segments, the life that I led before my father passed and then the life that I've been leading since. For Paul, it was the Gentiles. But for me, it started with the road right there in 2000. And then it went to the Northwest Church of Christ, where we were able to deposit them becoming caring Christians committed to Christ's courageous cause for approximately 6 years. And then more recently, we spent 11 years with the Spring Hill Road congregation, a very fine congregation down there, and where they indeed became the place, and still, I believe, are still the place where it comes together spiritually. And now, as we continue to add spiritual deposits to the Gateway congregation, where they are in covenant with God and they're in love with their neighbors, that we're going to continue to preach this gospel. The gospel that allowed us years ago to have, as the first person respond at least to my preaching, Luella French, and I think her name was Cooper at the time. And then more recently, the Rothy kids down here in the downriver have responded. We've been able to install leaders at Northwest and at Spring Hill Road, a total of 8 total. And just know that as that is part of my charge, we'll continue to try to work with the current eldership here to do similar things, continue to baptize, continue to work on our leadership, continue to do the things that God would ultimately have us to do. Because when I read scriptures like 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17, starting, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, so that you will not be carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall away from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." I want you to know that I'm grateful for the grace that God has allowed me to grow into, and by obeying it, and by being able to preach it. If you want to be able to be grateful as well, maybe you haven't made the commitment that you need to make to grow in grace and knowledge by obeying this same gospel. If you're willing to have faith and believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that's what the Bible says over in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9. Because then if you're willing to believe, acknowledge him as Lord, then in verse 10 it says, "For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So if you're willing to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, it's just an acknowledgement of what you believe. If you're willing to repent of your sins, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, because it not only says repent, but the Bible says when they had said in verse 37 of Acts 2, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" When their heart had been pricked by the word of Peter, the Bible says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." You can be baptized today. I want you to reach out to me. I want you to acknowledge that, hey, you know, if this is something, if I'm a sinner, and I know that if I die today that I would be in an undone condition, reach out to me on this Facebook post. Give me a text at 248-842-8185. And I don't care where you are in the country, we will make the arrangements for you to be able to complete your initial obedience and allow you to share in the same type of grace, a grace that starts with obedience, and then it ends with us being faithful unto death. Reach out to me. Call me. We can let you know. Even though the weather may be somewhat inclement, I'll go out and we will set you up in a spot. Whether you come to my congregation, we can baptize you in your bathtub. That's just how important and powerful and significant this gospel is. Reach out to me if you feel so disposed. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you for the many blessings that you've given us. Father, be with the grandson of John Martin, who will have a colonoscopy on today, it looks like. Be with Sister Braceful as she acknowledges that her cousin Ron is in hospice. And Father, just continue to be a blessing for us. Cornelia is asking for prayer for her brother, Glenn, because her nephew, Glenn's son, made his transition this morning. Pray for Yvonne's niece, Taboos. It looks like Tammy Taboos, who had a relapse after a major surgery. And Father, there are other things that have that I'm sure are on the hearts and minds of individuals, both in on Facebook as well as on this call. And Father, we just ask that you just help us to be all that you can be, that we can be, and do all that you would have us to do, and to say the things that you would have us to say, all to your glory and honor. Thank you for this ministry. Thank you for your word and the Holy Spirit that guides us in it. And may we be able to, maybe even as a result of this overture that we've made this morning, maybe even baptize somebody who needs to be able to take advantage of the grace that Jesus had in one hand and the truth that he had in the other, to be your humble servants, if it be your holy and divine will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.